my watch, and I counted more than the necessary quorum, so I think I'm going to call this meeting to order. If the clerk would call the roll, please.
Ammon. Anderson.
Here.
Beckett.
Here.
Denzel. Betts.
Here.
Carter. Coert. Dennis.
Here.
Gladney. James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Jones.
Here.
Knott.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier. Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Richards.
Present.
Rosales. Sapp.
Here.
Schrader.
Here.
Smucker.
Here.
Weibel.
Here.
Wysocki.
Here.
Ms. Wysocki, if I may.
Yes.
Mr. Benzel informed me he'd be out of town most likely with Mr. Meade and Mr. Gladney as well today.
So ready. I need a motion to approve the resolution to meet as a committee of the whole. Motion by Mr. Smucker, seconded by Mr. Kurtz. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Need a motion to approve the minutes of the committee of the whole of May 4th, 2010.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. James, seconded by Mr. Langenheim. Is there any discussion on the minutes? I did find a spelling error.
What's a teacher?
Yeah, I know. Line 168, page 4. The very last word. All those in favor of the minutes as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion to approve the agenda and the addenda for this evening.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. James, seconded by Ms. Coert. Any discussion of the agenda? I am going to, as the first order of business under committee reports, take item 10B first before we go back and pick up the facilities report. And that's because we have a number of people who are here to speak to that. And I see some little children here as well. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Public participation. For those of you who came in late, and maybe this is your first time here, there are some white pieces of paper at the desk. If you want to speak to the committee of the whole, you need to fill one of these out and bring it over here, and then you will be recognized. For the moment, though, I have Steve Burden.
Good evening. I'm Steve Burden. I live north of Mahomet in Newcomb Township. I just have a brief statement. According to the agenda, the Environment and Land Use Committee is going to be looking at the zoning ordinance regarding the residential scale or small wind ordinance amendment. And I was here to encourage the committee to pass the ordinance on. I think the ordinance has been worked on by a lot of people and is in very good shape. It has the flexibility to accommodate current issues and issues that will be coming to us in the future. for those of us who follow this, it's not that hard to imagine, but it's quite obvious that the face of residential wind power is changing. So it is not, the status quo will not be here for long. The use of turbines that will work at lower altitudes, lower speeds, be quieter, and be able to be sited in more densely populated areas than just out in the country is coming down the road. And so I think that's important, and it's important that the ordinance be able to accommodate that. When I read the ordinance that was proposed by the City of Champaign, I was quite pleased how embracing it was of wind power on a residential scale in town, and I think that that's important because in the future it will become more possible to do that. So I encourage the county to, or the committee, I'm sorry, to pass the ordinance on. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Mark Thompson.
Good evening. Last time I was here, I had a lot to say and really not enough time. And a little bit of what I'm going to say is redundant, so please bear with me. I mentioned the article in the paper, but I didn't mention the headline when the Rural Land Management Plan finally okayed. Well, that's a scary headline if you understand what this really means. But I do understand that there's been a lot of people working really hard to get this passed. It's been an agenda by a lot of people, let me put it that way. But this part of this article is very interesting. The proposal recently modified was endorsed by the Champaign County Farm Bureau in a letter sent to board members this week. The modification further amended a once controversial plan, part of the plan, that had essentially limited rural landowners' development to one new lot per 40 acres. With the modified alternative, we approved, we are actually expanding property rights. Barb, who chairs the Board of Environment's Land Use Committee, said, and has shepherded the Land Resource Management Plan for 3 years. The modified plan allows as many as 8 lots on 40 acres. Now, I'm trying to read that, and it doesn't come across quite as I'd like it to. Barb says this is an improvement on the plan, allowing an RRO, when in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. The concept that we're going to allow a landowner to put one lot per 40 acres, maximum 2 per parcel, is the most egregious attack on property rights that this county has ever seen. Unbelievable. And to word it as if we're expanding the property rights is beyond belief if you understand what an RRO is and what it takes to pass one. And I think some of you people do know that. Some of you haven't been here long enough to know. You should look into that. Last time I was here, I asked you to please take some time and look into UN Agenda 21. I hope you have. If you haven't yet, I do hope you take the time to research it thoroughly, because it will open your eyes to the things that are going on in local government and the zoning proposals that are on the table right now. It's as anti-American as you can get. Basically, the UN plan for your sustainable community. This global contract binds all nations in spreading regions to the collective vision of sustainable development. They must commit to pursue the 3 E's of sustainability: environment, economy, and equity. Referring to the UN blueprint for environmental regulations, economic regulations, and social equity. Folks, when I watch what's happening in Washington, D.C., and this concept of spreading the wealth, I understand totally what the concept of all government is local. Because what's happening here, through zoning, is their version of spreading the wealth by stripping the landowners of their rights to their property. You cannot pass this when the day comes, and that day may be a year and a half from now, and you may be real sick of me by then, because this is something you have to understand you cannot allow to happen. And I'm going to try to ingrain it. I'm going to encourage you people to research what I'm saying and understand how egregious this attack is on the rights of the landowner. Again, in this article, it talked about the Farm Bureau's behind this. And I mentioned last time, you have to understand the Farm Bureau is not the landowners. This doesn't say the United Landowners want this to happen. Now, if the landowners in this county knew what was going down, this place would be surrounded with them saying, no, you're not doing that to me. But they don't know. The vast majority are clueless to what this will do to the value of their property. There's a little comment here. Most Americans will remain unaware of the implications of smart growth in Agenda 21 until after it is promulgated in their own backyards. Ironically, these plans are more insidious than the eminent domain. Under eminent domain rulings, property owners usually receive compensation for their losses. But what you people have the ability to do with your vote is strip the landowners in this county of a tremendous amount of value off their property. You know,
that's 5 minutes.
It is 5 minutes.
When Al was here last week, Al said to me, you know, I appreciate your passion. And I responded to him.
Can I say 5 minutes? Excuse me. That's the end of time. It's 5 minutes.
Thank you.
I'll save it for next week or next time.
Stephanie Hall with you.
This way down here. My name is Stephanie Holderfield. I'm a resident of District 1 and have been so for 26 years. I'm happy and excited to be here this evening. After having met with the Dobbinstown Community Improvement Association, I've been working with them for a couple of months now and had Leslie Kimball, who is heading the association, speak with Cameron Moore. Leslie also contacted WC and tried to find a way to implement a park for the children that live in Dobbins Downs. And Dobbins Downs is a neighborhood that is sliced out in District 1 that kind of doesn't really seem to get a whole lot of attention because nobody ever knows what to do with it. So here is a community of homeowners that would like to implement a park. So what I'm asking for you to do is to support their efforts by allowing them to be able to obtain 2603 Campbell Drive. I did explain to them the liabilities, so did Cameron Moore, on taking the ground, how to purchase it. WC also explained to the organization how to go about requesting this land be donated or purchased from the Champaign County. So my request to you is to listen to them with an open heart, support their efforts to implement a park for the children. The closest park for those kids in that neighborhood is 2 miles away. And I think we all understand the importance of having a local neighborhood park. It brings about community, and children are able to go someplace and play and congregate. Moms are able to take their children there and communicate, and it is very important to have that neighborhood feel within their own neighborhood. So that is what I'm here to do this evening. I think there are other members of Dobbins Downs that are here to make the same request and explain to you what their efforts are all about. Thank you.
Okay. I do have two or three others who wish to speak to this item, and I've asked them to hold their comments until we get to that item, because they are some of the major participants, and I think their comments and their perspectives will be a little more meaningful within the context of our discussion. And that is also all of the requests I've had to speak. And since I have no others, I'm going to declare public participation closed. Are there any communications from the board? That's not. Well, then, we are going to go over to item B under environment and land use. You received in your packet a request from a group of citizens in the Dobbinstown area about requesting a deed property at 2603 Campbell Drive. And I, again, for the benefit of the board, we also have here for this particular item is Scott Rose from the Regional Planning Commission, John Hall from our own planning department, who can give us all a deeper perspective of this particular property. We have Leslie Kimball and Norm Davis, who are part of the citizens group in that area. And is that where we want to start, is hearing from these folks and then having our own discussion about it? Okay. Well, Mr. Hall, why don't we start with you, since you have the...
Point of order. Shouldn't we have a motion? Shouldn't we have a motion on the floor?
Oh,
to approve it? Before we start talking about something?
True.
I'll move approval for purposes of discussion.
Motion by Mr. McGinty, seconded by Mr. Kurtz. Okay, John.
Okay, the property...
I'm sorry. We all need to vote.
No.
That's right.
Okay.
In a month.
The county cleaned up 2603 Campbell Drive after the dwelling that had been on that property burned partially, and the previous landowner signed it over to us. The county spent $7,300 cleaning it up. We had it appraised by a local appraiser. It was a little over $11,000 in value back in about 2005. So the county does have the deed to the property. You've spent $7,300 cleaning it up. What you choose to do is your decision, but I just wanted to make sure that you knew that someone just didn't give this to the county with no costs. And so what you do in regards to the park, you know, that's a separate issue. We've been trying for the past several years. I know Scott Rose at the RPC had talked to us. We've been talking to Scott every year for like the past three. He's been trying to find some community organization to buy it from us so they could build housing on it. It is in the R2 single family district. You could put a house on it by right. You could even put a duplex on it with a special use permit, provided that you could work out all the dimensional issues. But apparently Scott has never really found any organization willing to step up and buy the property, and that's why we still have it. In fact, this is an odd thing, but the county actually pays taxes on this property every year. And so it would be nice to get this off of our books because we're paying taxes every year. I have never come to the county board and asked for any special consideration about the taxes. I hoped we would be rid of the property by now, but we're not. I should tell you the other thing that the other cost we have is, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but there's a resident in this neighborhood that has been mowing your lawn free of charge for several years now, and he never complains. And it was the goal of Jamie Hitt, the zoning officer, and I, that fellow wouldn't have to take that burden this summer. The grass is already high, and we haven't gotten out there to mow it yet. So that's one thing I have to talk to Deb about, is line item for yard mowing. But anyhow, you spent $7,300 on the property. You're paying taxes every year. We have to mow the yard, keep it up, just like we expect everybody else to do. And that's all I had to say.
Thank you. Mr. Beckett. John, come back here, please.
We ever done this before?
I'm not aware of us ever having a property like this before.
I assume that, given the locale, this is not within the jurisdiction of any park district. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is it within the jurisdiction of the Forest Preserve?
Well, technically, it is. It's in the unincorporated area, but...
Is there any governmental entity besides us that is in the business of taking care of parks that we can have an intergovernmental agreement with about this lot?
Well, this property is adjacent to a property that is inside the city of Champaign and thus in the Champaign Park District jurisdiction. It's your property. You could sign an annexation agreement with the city of Champaign, which would then put it in the Champaign Park District jurisdiction. But as it sits right now, it's not in any jurisdiction like that.
There is no legal document that is an agreement for deed between us and this Neighborhood Improvement Association that says, here's what our responsibilities are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We indemnify you, hold you harmless. I mean, all that fine legal stuff, right?
There's
documentation about this right now. The motion would just simply have us sign a deed and turn it over to this not-for-profit. Is that right?
Excuse me. I would say that really this item is on your agenda tonight, so you can be brought fully aware of the issues at hand.
Okay.
If you were going, I would not recommend you approve this motion as you have it on the floor tonight, because all of that needs to be done if you decide this is an avenue that you want to pursue.
Thank you.
Mr. Schrader, did you have your hand up?
Just a quick comment about something Mr. Beckett brought up about Park District, if it was within an area of the Park District. Champaign Park District has a property annexed south of Monticello Road on 700 East, not too far north of me, on property they have a small site where they have an observatory out in the middle of the country, so they can annex anywhere in the county if they need to.
Mr. Weidel?
Mr. Hall, are there any township parks or anything like that in this county?
Yes.
So it's conceivable a township could. Which township is this in?
Summer Township has a park.
And this site is in which township?
It's in Hensley Township.
So it's possible that an agreement could be made with the township, I guess, theoretically.
Any other questions for Mr. Hall? Mr. Smucker.
Where is it located on this map?
The number is 335017.
You'll
see a lighter outline than the
other ones.
353.
Okay.
Can we all hear that?
Yeah.
35, right, it's right on the corner. 353-017. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we're going to move on to...
I got a motion on the floor. I have something to say, but...
Go ahead.
I don't have a question for Mr. Hall.
Okay, well, I want to hear from these other folks.
Who's next?
Next is Mr. Rose.
Oh.
You might want to tell these folks what you do.
I'd take all night. just kidding. Scott Rose, I'm with the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission and the Social Services Division. We operate the HOME program, which is a federally funded program as part of an entitlement for Champaign County and unincorporated Champaign County, the cities of Champaign and Urbana. Basically, we have had some interest in that property on Campbell Drive as well since dating back to 2007 and 2008 that we thought we would like to utilize some of our program dollars and acquire this property, pay for the value of the lot and the cost that the planning and zoning incurred to clear the property, clear title, bring taxes current and so forth, so that we could in turn turn that property over to a not-for-profit local housing development corporation that would in turn build either a single family or a duplex on that lot and turn it over to a income eligible household for home buyer home ownership opportunities. It's something that we have been working on for quite a few years now. The challenges that we've had with this particular project are right now there are basically two not-for-profits that are active in the Champaign-Urbana areas, and that's generally where they focus the majority of their efforts. We have not had a not-for-profit development outside the cities of Champaign-Urbana, so this was a site that offered amenities for bus service and opportunities for potential buyers of that site to have access to busing and basically shopping and things like that that were fairly close to that particular site. So we did have quite a bit of interest in that. Again, identifying the not-for-profit that could actually develop that site has been our hurdle at this point in time. We are hopeful that a third not-for-profit will be coming on board soon. This entity has been active developing low-income housing for quite a few years here, but they have yet to put the board makeup together that qualifies them as a not-for-profit to participate in the HOME program. With that, what I can tell you is this part came about rather quickly. We did budget dollars in our HOME program to actually acquire this property, but it tends to be contingent upon a not-for-profit that's able to step up to the bat and be able to take on this property, develop it to build a site, whether it's a single or a duplex, and then have a buyer in the pipeline that is ready to move in once this unit is available. So those are the pieces of the puzzle that are scattered on the table that we've been trying to work to pull together to make this a viable project. And once this project is initiated and turned over to the not-for-profit, they have a timetable of 18 months to complete this and get it occupied. So everything has to kind of fall in place when we're trying to utilize this for a not-for-profit type of a project. So this is something that we've been working on for some time and trying to pull together to make happen and make available to a family in Champaign County.
Questions for Mr. Rose. Mr. James?
Mr. Rose, based on what you were just saying, the time frame there for them years that you've been looking at that, I know that there's Habitat for Humanity and there's some other not-for-profits locally that I've worked with before. Looking at this map and looking at what the residents out there are wanting, you know, I always hear that quality of life is one thing people look at when they go to look at a neighborhood or to reside in that neighborhood. So I would say if that's what the residents are wanting, and there's never really been a big interest at this point for that lot, to me that what's being proposed here would probably improve overall by having a park so that people would have somewhere for their children to be close by and maybe even lead to other things within them neighborhoods. Do you think I'm probably on the right track, or do you think putting another home in there is going to be a better solution?
Well, I think ultimately that decision needs to be made by the board based on what's going to enhance the neighborhood, whether that is developing that lot for housing or whether it's developing that lot for a park. That's going to be a decision that you will make. I was just asked to come here to share the plan that we had intended for that lot, and hoping that that would have been come to fruition before I think any of the park discussion had taken place.
Mr. Coates?
So at this point, you have no one interested in buying that lot. You don't have a non-for-profit sitting in the wings saying, oh, we have the money. You've been talking about this now for, what, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years?
We have the program dollars to acquire the lot from planning and zoning, but when we do that, we need to have the developer in place that's going to take that lot and further.
So you don't have a developer at this
point? Not at this point in time.
And how long has this dollars been available, and how long is this property?
We get funding for the home program on an annual basis. And the two not-for-profits that are available in this time, one of them I think is working on Crystal View, which is Homestead, and the other not-for-profit that's available is Ecolab, and they're somewhat limited in the number of projects that they can put in the pipeline in any given year. So this is something that basically needs to be planned out as the lot becomes available, as the title becomes available, and the not-for-profits can basically develop this. The other thing, with the downturn in the economy, banking, getting low-income households approved for loans to occupy these housing, everything has kind of run against us in the last year or so trying to put this together. So we've had a lot of obstacles and a lot of hurdles.
Thank you.
Ms. Ammons.
I'm familiar with the lot there on Campbell Drive. Working with a local non-for-profit charitable organization in that same neighborhood, a couple things that come to mind is that there are no sidewalks in this neighborhood, and there are no actual play areas in the neighborhood. So we often, including the MTD, is manipulating around children in the streets. And so I think the county certainly would be in a better position to provide a lot for improvement of the quality of life for the residents out there, because it's an interesting subdivision because it's so cut off from the rest of the city. It's not necessarily connected to Champaign, only a portion of the streets. It's a really odd situation out there in Dobbins Down. And so I would encourage the members to really consider and transferring this property to a nonprofit so that they could benefit in providing a general use for all the residents out there. I don't believe that we are short housing in Dobbins Down, but we do have an increase in calls to the Sheriff's Department from that area, which we probably should look at as well when we consider the best use for this property. So I would be in support of certainly considering transferring this property over to a nonprofit so that they could utilize it better for the neighborhood and for those children out there.
Mr. Coates?
When I first saw this on the agenda, I wanted to get a little bit more information, and I talked with Ms. Busey concerning that, and I did find out that the Sheriff's Department does not have a major concern at this point with security if a park was installed in that location. And I had a chance to talk with the chair of this association, Leslie Kimball, and then went out to the property and spent some time with Mr. Davis, who is the treasurer, to take a look at this piece of property. It's a tiny piece of property in the middle of a complete residential neighborhood. And as I drove the neighborhood, I noticed children out on the street. I wanted to see how the neighborhood would react perhaps to a park in that area, and I Mr. Davis went over and talked to some of the neighboring residents while we were there, and I felt that a piece of property in this area, and I'm lucky enough to be living in an area where we have Hessel Park, we have Westside Park, we have a number of parks just surrounding us in my south part of Champaign, and there's nothing in Dobbins Downs for children, nothing, absolutely nothing for them to be able to congregate at, and I certainly feel that the as everybody's been talking about the quality of life there for children, a small park like this could be quite helpful to the parents in that area to be able to have their children at a place where they can be safe. And this I was told would be a daytime park, and that there would be a gate around it,
a fence to keep it at least separated. And it's such a small piece of property that I don't see why we couldn't allow these people to have something, a recreation for their children at this point. So I feel at this point, unless something comes up that would change my mind, that I would like to see them have this property for a park.
Any other questions for Mr. Rose? Because I am next, I'm going to call Ms. Kimball up, who is one of the promoters of this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Kimball and Mr. Davis.
Hi, my name is Leslie Kimball. Thank you for allowing us to come and speak to you. I am a mother of two and soon to be another one in 9 months. So this is very important to me. We've lived in the neighborhood for almost 3 years. And as soon as we moved in, we started walking because we like to do that and realized there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood that we weren't aware of when we first moved. But it was really hard to meet anyone because there wasn't one general area to do that and play and sort of form a network of connections among neighbors, which we've lived in neighborhoods that have had that. And I feel like there's a really strong sense of community when you have that because families can meet together and they can play and then they can go and have a barbecue at their house, or it just brings the community together in a really neat way. And I have a dream that would happen in Dobbs Downs. I know tonight we've listed different reasons why it might be bad. I know there's concern about the safety, and we've discussed that. We've had neighborhood meetings where we've asked the police and sheriff to come and help us in talking about how we can create a safer community, so that is very high on our concern list. We would, if this were to become deeded over to us for use of a park, we would plan on continuing that work with the safety officials to have a good partnership with them, even posting when the park is open and when it's closed. Neighbors that are right adjacent to this land are full support of it, and so I take that as a good sign that when we're in support of it and we're working together to build it, that we would work together to take care of it and look out for one another when our kids are playing and when they're not playing at night. So tonight, yeah, we're asking you to consider deeding over this lot to us on the corner of Kingsway and Campbell. We would take full responsibility as far as the liability insurance and the maintenance and mowing and cleaning up the pile of debris that has collected there through the volunteers that live in the neighborhood that already have helped to keep the neighborhood clean and things like that. We've also started the process of raising funds for this park because it is so important to the neighbors. We've gained $2,000 for that, and we're working on raising some more support. So we would greatly appreciate this donation to the nonprofit. Obviously, it is a nonprofit, so we're not out to make money. We're out to make our community better and make this a place that improves the quality of life. So I don't know, Norm, if you want to speak or have... Yes.
Ms. Michaels, do you have any dues or anything for your association that is going to help with the upkeep, the insurance, and what? That's a cash item, and I wonder how you'll have cash to take care of insurance on the property and whatnot.
We are not an HOA. We were created as a nonprofit community improvement association, so we do not require a due from the residents. A lot of the residents are not even homeowners. They're renters. So we feel like with the low income, we didn't even create that as a HOA. Our plan would be, so far when we've done neighborhood events, we would hope to do some sort of fundraisers to raise that money yearly. And we're also working with United Way to maybe gain some sponsorship from area community businesses that would be able to help with those long-term maintenance fees.
Have you found out how much it would cost? I mean, what type of money are you looking at every year?
For the maintenance?
The maintenance and insurance, I think.
The insurance, we're discussing with Farmers Insurance right now and haven't got that quote back yet, so we're still in the middle of that. As far as mowing and stuff like that, that's on a volunteer basis, but yeah, that is our main concern right now, and that's on our top list of priorities to get that done.
Mr. Noodle?
Very admirable. I think it's important for your group to try to get some synergy with another group, not that I denigrate what you're trying to do, but one of these days you're going to be my age, and it's just that enthusiasm to start with, it wanes over time,
mm-hmm.
and although you are going to do the job that I know you can do, now, there may be situations down the road where the enthusiasm wanes,
mm-hmm.
and then we're back to what Mr. Hall just described or what it looks like now. And it would be wise maybe that before we do a transfer that we, ask that you seek with, there's Rotaries and Kiwanis, and there's other organizations, Community Foundation, that could work with you to give you a base that would be of a stable nature. As people come and go, you have new nominated people that would work with them and ensure that it, the ideal thing would be to have the Park District annex it and to work with them as a neighborhood group to maybe take a little strain off of them in terms of some of their costs if some of the things could be done on a voluntary basis. But it really is something that it may be a little bit more than you realize when you think about insurance and maintenance and you're having a third child and these things come up where the enthusiasm's there, but maybe the ability to get it done is not going to be there. And I would just hope that you think that through too.
Yeah, we are. We have some pledges from the Ameren Illinois Power, and as far as some of those, like I said, we're still working on that sponsorship with some other community things like Kiwanis and stuff like that. So those are still in the works, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Hammond?
With the Hensley Township, I don't understand exactly how this could work, but if either the annexation agreement with Champaign so that the park district would be best outfitted to support a neighborhood park there, or the Hensley Township, would that address the issue of insurance? And that means the park district or the township would make sure that those maintenance, upkeep, and insurance areas were covered. Is that my understanding?
We're working with the neighborhood services in the city to work to move towards being possibly annexed in like that, like what you're saying, but that's a process that we're still waiting on that paperwork to come back. So that would be a possibility. I mean, we're working with the park district as much as possible.
My point is more so not necessarily the neighborhood or the residents doing that, but the county board, our administration could help us formulate this and start that process with either City of Champaign Park District or the township that this is located in.
I have spoken with the director of the City of Champaign Park District regarding this project, and quite frankly, they're experiencing what every other governmental agency is experiencing right now, and that is an inability to even fund their current programs. And they have a concern about, although apparently they could annex this property because there's one right next door, which is within the City of Champaign boundaries, the majority of the residents served do not live within the City of Champaign, and so are not paying property taxes to the Champaign Park District, which is how they fund their programs, and clearly you can understand the problem there. I think they are graciously willing to provide advice and, any kind of support that they can to this group in their effort to create a park here, but they are not at this point in a position to be able to take it on. I have not talked to the township. I certainly can, but I would think that the townships are probably in no better position to take on an additional responsibility like the development of a park than we are, or the park district, or anyone else during the, in this economy. But I can do that if you want me to.
Ms. Anderson.
I thought it was in the letter, but I guess it was in the newspaper article. Maybe Mr. Casey can remember, but I thought it had indicated that there are a couple of townships, that Davenstown area is not all in one township. I'm not sure of that, but I thought I read that in the paper. Can someone speak to that?
Is it three?
Mr. Davis?
Norm might have more information.
Well, having studied the boundary lines around everything, it's Dobbins Downs has been a neglected area because we are part of Hensley Township, part of Champaign Township, and part of the city of Champaign. It is a, you know, if we think that sometimes our political boundaries are gerrymandered, this one's even worse because sometimes it goes house by house and then it goes across the street and takes a house, and it's very confusing. But the whole of Dobbins Downs is under the jurisdiction of Hensley Township, Champaign Township, and the city of Champaign, depending on where you happen to put your feet. But where the park is going to be, or where we're hoping that you will help us put it, is in Hensley Township.
Well, I guess my comment was that if we're asking that township might have the same feeling as the park district, that if they did something, it would be serving part of their residents, but not all of them. I don't know. That's just a comment.
I understand. What our goal is to provide the equipment, and you know, and we're also providing right now the insurance. We will provide the insurance at this time. If somewhere down the line somebody would like to help us out, we're certainly not going to tell them no. But we will do the maintenance, because right now all it's going to take is mowing the lawn, raking the litter out, and repairing the equipment, which is high standard equipment, as you can see by the drawings that we gave you.
If I can say one thing too, in this discussion, I believe that this is why 15 years ago this didn't happen, because nobody wants to provide this place with a neighborhood park, because nobody wants to say that they're getting enough taxes to cover this. And this is why this neighborhood of over 500 homes has been passed over, because Hensley Township doesn't want to do it, city doesn't want to do it, and county. You guys have the power right now to provide this neighborhood and give us the oomph, okay? I'm not asking you to take care of all of our problems, but please consider helping us. What you've suggested, it sounds like you're willing to help. Whether or not you deed it over right away, that's not what we're asking you to blindly just do that for us. Please consider it. You guys are the ones that own this land. Nothing is being done on it right now, and we have an idea to improve that neighborhood. So we are not saying we have everything put together. It's still in the works, but we need land to make something even happen. And if nobody takes the initiative to say, okay, this is worth it, even though we might not get all the benefits of it, if we went about life, you know, a lot of stuff wouldn't get done if that's how we treated everybody. So I just ask you to please consider this, and thank you for your time.
Let's see, we have a number of board members. Okay, Mr. Beckett.
Have you considered a land lease where within the lease we could put all of these certificate of insurance, proper maintenance, etc., as your responsibility? And if you failed to do that, you know, your lease could be terminated. But you wouldn't have complete ownership of it. I think one of the concerns I have, which is similar to what Mr. Nudo said, is I don't know where we're going to be 5 years from now. I don't know where we're going to be 10 years from now. We may not have this enthusiastic group like we have right now
right.
that has this great idea, and the kids may all be grown. I know I lived in the same neighborhood in Champaign for 17 years. It was a heck of a lot different at the end of 17 years than it was when I first moved in with my young kids. And I think that could happen with your neighborhood, too. So I guess I would ask that our state's attorney explore the possibility of a land lease, because I think that's sort of an in-between mm-hmm. where we can put some responsibility on your part that we can enforce.
Yeah, we would be open to that. We have two attorneys that live in the neighborhood that have done their work pro bono for the neighborhood, and they would be, I know we've talked about that, so that would be an option we'd be willing to consider.
Mr. O'Connor.
I'm still listening for someone to ask us to fund this. I don't think that's what they're asking.
No.
They're asking for our help.
Yes.
And if the city of Champaign or Hensley Township's reluctant, we haven't even asked them. So they probably are reluctant. And they aren't going to be asked. All these folks are wanting is our support to implement their project. And I have a soft spot in my heart for Dobbins Drive, excuse me, because my honeymoon cottage was at 1502 Dobbins Drive 38 years ago.
That's the vacant lot.
We miss you. Do you want to move back?
Mr. Knott?
I guess I like Steve's idea. I think that's a really good idea. I was wondering, from an action standpoint, where do we go? I mean, this was moved and seconded for the purpose of discussion, but are we just simply asking our attorneys to come back with some fact-finding, or, I mean, are we going to do anything tonight? I guess that's kind of wondering what course we're going to take. I do support taking proactive form. I'm just confused at this point of where we're going with it.
I think the intent of having this on the agenda tonight was simply to get your direction about where you would have us go next to figure out what the next step should be.
Ms. Michael.
This might be off the side here, but I think part of what you're looking at, too, I know you have some quotes for equipment and things like that. You want to make sure you bring all that to the table. And honestly, there's an access to recreation through the Community Foundation of East Central Illinois that you ought to check on.
Through the what?
Community Foundation of East Central Illinois.
Yes, we have searched into
but
that.
I would think that you'd want to bring the whole package if you could, and then you'll know up front, you know, who's responsible for what.
The whole pack. I'm sorry, what are you saying? The whole package is
for that you're going to have to put on this, too.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have the lot and lease it and not have something kind of in play or some information as to how you could fund the equipment and whatnot. So that's why I'm saying the whole package is what I'm looking at.
Mr. Beckett.
I want to move a substitute motion to direct the state's attorney's office to investigate and report back to us the possibilities of intergovernmental agreements or the possibility of a land lease so that this park can go forward.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Mr. Smucker to to ask our state's attorney's office to investigate a land lease arrangement. Is it intergovernmental agreement? Ms. Anderson.
I like the
concept. My question is, in McHenry County, do you know how much money they saved in doing it the design build versus other types of buildings? I didn't see any numbers on dollars. Was there any way to know how much they saved over a period of time?
Don't know.
Okay.
Mr. Nudo.
Well, I can just tell you, a pole building, I have one with a business cohort of mine, and it's about the same size as the one we're proposing to build here, and I built it for $79 a foot. The reason is because the architects, the engineers are in-house, and you're not paying for that. You surely need an outside architect to set the standards before you have them build it, but then Alan would oversee the project. And if you wanted to employ our architect, Isaac Sklarum, you could do that. But Mr. Mr. Glarum said to us the other day that he could build it for probably $70 a foot, so I'm trying to figure out how I got shafted.
That's great, because it's got a combination of office and warehouse.
Mr. James.
We've talked about this previously years ago in our committees, or the facility committee, and I think it's a great idea. Some of the buildings you could look at would be like Andre's was a metal building, and Thomasboro Fire District, they just put up a new building a few years ago, and I know several farmers that you go inside their buildings and they're just wonderful. I mean, you don't even know you're in a metal building because of the way they've been built. For what we're going to use it for, I think it's cost effective. I think it can be done right, and I agree wholeheartedly with Steve, because we just went through this with that other building that we're now up in the lease money on, that it's on our property. I think we'd be better served to own the building and have some control over what we're doing and maintaining it, and that would be the next step. But I think it's a great idea. It'll probably save some cost, and I can see why Mr. Nudo paid more. He wears white shirts.
Other discussion? Mr. J?
Are we, our square footage, is it similar? Are we looking at 13,000 square feet or more or less? Or
how much do you think?
The number calculated was 23,000 square feet.
How was that split up?
I believe it was 4,000 square feet for the election supply, 5,000 square feet for the corridor, and the remaining was for county facilities and excess equipment storage.
Mr. J, follow up. Aren't we moving county facilities to the old highway building?
We're actually going to move ILEAS to the old highway building to meet our obligation for them. Under their lease, we have to provide them with space, and so we don't have to do anything to that space to meet their need. We don't have to do anything to that space to meet their needs.
Well, that's kind of troubling, because we've had this discussion before, and some of us didn't understand why we had an obligation for ILEAS to have the highway building to begin with. That was always supposed to have been for the clerk and for our facilities people originally.
Well, John, we wouldn't be doing this if that space was suitable for the clerk, would we? It's not.
But, you know, it's kind of ironic. The same engineer that we're going to hire.
It's not an engineer, he's an architect.
Architect is the same one that told us originally we could use that building for what we wanted to, and then turned around and told us we couldn't after we decided to go.
Yeah, well, that's a long story, and
it's a long story, and it's frustrating for us that every time we come, we get a different verse.
Well, I'm sorry that you don't like it, Mr. J. I'm interested. You got a proposal? You want to amend the motion? All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve IGW to draft an RFP for the Gill Building replacement.
So moved.
Is there a second? Moved by James, seconded by Rosales. Further discussion? All those in favor? Oh, sorry, Ms. Amos.
Sorry, I don't know. I don't feel that I have a good grasp of this, where this money is going to come from. We tend to find money to build buildings, and I understand that it makes sense. Obviously, I don't want to rent my house as opposed to buying it. I just don't feel clear that the $264,000 that are is approximated in here, plus or minus the 5%, I don't understand where that's coming from. Am I reading some? I'm reading the IGW letter to Alan Reinhart.
It's with us next item.
Oh, okay. I'm reading the wrong thing. Okay, help me understand what it is that we're asked to do.
We're asking that Mr. Glarum prepare a proposal just like this for Champaign County that we will use in the process to request proposals from contractors to do this design-build process so that we end up with our building. It's the first step in the process.
So we just really want an RFP at this point.
That's correct.
What the cost of
that's correct. Nothing else. Mr. Sam.
Do we have an agreement with Isaac Lehrman? Do we have a contract? How much is it going to cost for this RFP, and where is that money coming from?
But if you approve this tonight, we would bring the contract to you at the county board for final approval, where you would have all of those specifics.
Mr. James,
just to help Carol a little bit, what are we paying a year right now for a lease?
Oh, I remember that, actually, from the last meeting. I do remember that.
So I think the point being that instead of paying rent on a building, you're going to take that money and now purchase a building, but you'll be making payments on some type of bond or however we work it out. But it makes a lot of sense to me that instead of just throwing money away, in a sense, we're finally going to have our own building that we will have.
I guess for me, I understand that. I really do understand that concept. I get it totally. That's why I don't rent a house. I'm just trying to make sure that as we entered in previous construction, nothing ever goes exactly the way we intended. We have to do some amendments to the building project. We need a little bit more money here and there. So I know that that's a real
I want to respond to that.
Okay.
Actually, one of the reasons why this design-build process is supposed to be so much better is it's turnkey. We're no longer involved in, you know, they give us our proposal. They tell us what they're going to build. They build it. They give us the key. That's why this process is supposed to be so much better. And we're not involved in all those change orders and all those other things. And the project's not supposed to be as complicated as the other building projects that we do, because look at the kind of building that it is. I see Mr. Betts smiling here. He thinks this is a pipe dream, whatever. But that's the idea. And apparently...
It must have been around a long time.
Yes, I know. Ms. Michaels.
Just real quick, the 23,000 square foot, I guess what I'm thinking of is in the future that is going to take care of things for, 15, 20 years, 25 years? Because if you're going to build something and you're going to build it right here, I would want to make sure that as things evolve, if you're going to do it now, and then you get rid of other things that maybe you are leasing. I don't know if there are other buildings you're leasing.
Gil.
That's it.
We're letting go.
Right, but I mean, is that the only one? There aren't any others?
Right.
Because my concept would be to get rid of all the leases and throw it all on your own place. Okay.
Right. Okay. Other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Request for approval. Oh, I'm sorry. Contract with IGW for roof replacement for our lease. Mr. Reinhardt, you want to just... Oh, I apologize. We need to send a letter to Mr. Harrington regarding the final year of the lease. Is there a motion to approve? Moved by Chair Weibel. Second by Mr. Richards. Discussion. All those in favor? Oh, Ms. Ammons.
I'm really slow in the draw. I don't know enough about this, so I'm not afraid to mention.
Okay. All right. If you recall.
I do recall.
If you recall, we have this lease that renews. And by June 23rd, we have to send notice that we're going to renew it. And so we have a letter here that says we're going to renew it, but it's going to be for one more year.
Okay.
And when we met with Mr. Harrington, he is now going to market the property. So we're trying to create the possibility that if we can get out of that building earlier, we can save some rent.
I get that. So my question is this, because I know very little about design build services, would this project realistically be done in the year's time so that when this comes around again and that lease is actually up?
Yes, that's what we were told. Yes. Yes. Mr. Newgo?
If we aren't, what's the plan B?
Well, then we'd have to hold over. We'd have to hold over as a tenant, which would mean we'd have to pay more in rent. So that's obviously why we tried. The building window for a building of this type is like 120 days. And so if we get the RFPs done and we get everything in place this fall and the weather's good, you know, who knows what can happen. But at least if it starts next spring, it'll be done by the end of the summer. This lease goes through December 1st of next year. Mr. Noodle, I cover that? Others? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Most carries. IGW for roof replacement. Mr. Reinhart, what's going on?
The ILEAs, the tenants, ILEAs are making plans right now for major expansion, possibly moving into B and C wing remodeling, working with IGW now, drafting several options, and our roof is leaking poorly, leaking quite a bit in those areas. We need to replace it, at least the 1971 edition, which is the new wing. And this is a proposal from IGW for them to design documents for this project.
Ms. Busey, do we have the money?
Yes, we do. As you will recall, when you received the last lease payment from ILEAS in the amount of $416,000, we committed to ILEAS that this money would be placed in reserve specifically to be used for the roof replacement of the building.
Ms. McGinty.
I'm not sure, but I may need to abstain because one of the folks that is looking at moving in is my employer.
You too, Mr. Sapp?
Yes, but I also have a comment.
All right. I'm not sure you're allowed to abstain and comment. All right. Chair Weibel.
The rest of the roofs on the building, how old are they?
The remaining roofs are rubber roofs and another shingle. And there are various ages. They are newer than the 1971 edition. So,
but that's 40 years ago. I mean,
that's correct. Yeah.
Are they less than 20 years, you think? Or?
They have less than 20 years life remaining, definitely.
Okay.
I need to ask for clarity on this. The ILEAS group paid us $400,000 was, and the agreement was that we would take that money to fix the roof.
It's true.
So they don't pay any, they're not really leasing the property at that point?
Of course they are. We had a terrible building in terrible condition. We had people who were willing to pay us lump sum monies up front. We could have used any money and fixed the roof at any time and then used that money for something else, but we didn't have that money. And so we negotiated that payment and negotiated that agreement with them, and we're going to use part of the money, and hopefully we're not going to spend it all, to fix the roof as we promised to do.
And is that what their lease is annually? What are they?
That was for 1 year. They have prepaid, so that was for your 2012. So the next time they owe us a lease payment is 2013. They also paid us last year for 2011, and that rent was $300. This lease went up substantially because we incorporated more of the space that they're going to use more proactively. So that was when they asked to make sure that there was a commitment that we would be able to maintain the facility that they were leasing from us, which is why we agreed to commit to placing that $416,000 rent payment into capital reserves for the facility. But we received over $300,000 in rent last year as well for 2011 that went right into the general fund just as other rent payments do.
Mr. Nudo.
Just so you know, landlords have to set aside money for capital expenditures for depreciated items, the roof being the main thing of, you know, that's a major expense for a building. And the most important thing is if ILEAS walked away after 2012, we got an improved building out of it. So you would be able to lease it much more easily the next time around. You wouldn't have as much depreciated items to take care of. So it's a good move, I think.
Mr. James.
I was just going to say what Al was saying. We've been talking about capital improvements, and that's where that money comes from, is when you get your lease money, you set it aside to do the things that you need to do to keep your building up so you have a tenant in there that is a good tenant and not doing as much damage as you are repairing.
All right. Entertain a motion to approve the contract with IGW for roof replacement at ILEAS. Moved by James. Second by Richards. Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Abstain. Sapp and McGinty. Request for approval to apply for grants. Mr. Reinhart.
On page 22 in your docket is some information supplied to us from the Regional Planning Commission. I think a couple of you joined me at that informational meeting. I've worked on two projects in the last month trying to prepare for this. if you remember, a year ago, we gave approval and we applied for a public sector electric efficiency program grant for the Champaign County Courthouse. The delamping and occupancy sensor last year, we did receive a small amount of funding for that program, and as we have completed it and we have submitted final application for payment. Along with this information, year three for the public sector, on your handout, if you may, the public sector electric efficiency program is starting. The application is completed, has been reviewed, and is ready to be submitted for requests for approximately $20,000. With this new program, with the community block grant program, we have an opportunity, if awarded, to possibly receive the remaining balance of the total project cost on a separate grant. So, with your permission, by the end of this week, these will both be completed and sent in with the additional 40 pages each of accompanying documentation to see if we can get approval.
So can one motion approve both the electric efficiency program and the energy efficiency community block grant? Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Moved by Smucker, second by Rosales. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Physical plan monthly. Yes,
Chair. I'm off due date for this is June 11th, so this will go. This will not come to the county board.
Yes, it will, because under your grant process, a grant application can be submitted and still pending county board.
Physical plan monthly reports. Mr. Reinhart.
I do not believe there's anything new to report on the reports for this month. Any questions?
Entertain a motion to receive and place on file. Moved by Ammons. Second by Smucker. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. You saw information in your packet about the change in traffic down by the courthouse with Walnut going one way north and diagonal parking. I guess there's a movement afoot to try to do that in other areas in downtown Urbana. Any comments that you want us to send back to the city of Urbana? No? Any other business? Thank you.
We need to do the consent items.
Is there any consent items? Okay. Highway?
First item, Chair, is the monthly reports from the county and township motor fuel tax claims.
Okay, we need a motion. Need a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Under the county engineers section, there's a resolution on pages 30 and 31. We had the sign replacement program in order to replace all of the road signs across the county and all the townships on the county roads as well as the small municipalities. And there was a cap per entity of $25,000 that we could receive. We counted up all of our signs that needed to be replaced and put them out for bids. The county's portion of that total cost was a little over $35,000, so we exceeded the $25,000 cap. So we need to pass a resolution for $10,254.66 to cover those monies above the $25,000 cap from the motor fuel tax fund.
Okay, can I get a second?
I'm sorry.
Lane Hank. Second by Paris. Open for discussion.
We're purchasing these signs, is that correct?
Signs have already been bid out and awarded, and the signs are actually already being sent to us.
Are these the signs that at one time we were talking about manufacturing in-house?
These are generally signs that we had talked about manufacturing in-house are more specialized signs. These are stop signs and crossroad signs, no passing signs.
Okay.
And when you bid them, we had a bid for $300,000 worth of signs. We got better prices than I've seen since I've been an engineer. I mean, very, very low prices to replace all of our signs across the county. And this was a federal grant coming through IDOT, because in the new manual on uniform traffic control devices, all signs have to be retroreflective at night and meet a certain retroreflective ability. So IDOT used some high-risk rural roads money to fund the sign replacement program. I guess fortunately or unfortunately, the program was funded based on the amount of accidents within your county, and we ranked way up in accidents, which is the unfortunate part. The fortunate part is we get money for that. So we did bid this, and all the signs are here. We've received the the total tabulation from the vendor, and this is the monies that we need to pay our portion.
Dan.
That's mine, that were basically being mandated because of the coloring or the reflectiveness of the signs, correct?
Right, right.
And then I saw in the news last night, it sort of ties in with this, that there's a move underfoot, or there's some people wanting to know how come there isn't stop signs and signs at every intersection. And if that happens, they did a little grid. Part-time work for a lot of people.
Yeah. This is my fifth summer as county engineer, and every year about this time when the corn starts to grow, they run that same story and they just interview somebody else. But yeah, that's every year in June they start running that story about having four-lane stops at all the township intersections out in the country.
Carol Ammons.
I was actually going to ask about, you mentioned that we got money, the $25,000 came from the grant.
That's correct.
And you're asking us to approve over the cap.
Right.
Because we have more signs to replace.
That's correct, yes.
And that will be coming from the highway.
That comes from the motor fuel tax funds.
The motor fuel tax.
Oh. Yeah. Which is generally where we purchase our signs anyways, out of motor fuel tax fund. But since this was a specific contract, we need to allocate money through a resolution to that contract or that section number in order to pay this bill.
If I could just do a quick follow-up with the question that was raised just a second ago. Installation of all these signs, what would that look like?
That is...
Get them all installed.
So what's the question?
Meaning, would your department actually go out and install all these signs?
Each public agency is installing all of their own signs.
They're installing their own signs.
That's correct. Yep.
Diane Mitchell.
I guess I have a question, that if this was a bid, that we had a price already in mind and now we're, a third more over that or something. I don't understand. Well, maybe I'm misunderstanding something here.
This is a program through IDOT, and basically all of your signs, which are regulatory and or warning signs, so all your red and yellow signs that are out on the roads, have to meet a certain retroreflectivity standard. So IDOT decided to use some federal money that they get through as pass-through money to locals to fund a sign replacement program. Mm-hmm. When they did that sign replacement program, because there are counties such as ours and like a Lake County or a Cook County, they put a cap on each entity how much money that grant would fund per entity. Now, obviously, all the townships, you know, all have a cap of $25,000. None of them reach that cap. The small municipalities like, you know, Sedora, St. Ivesdale, and Sydney and Homer, none of them reach that cap. But we can't use part of their money to fund ours. To replace all the signs on the county highway system is going to cost $35,000.
Well, I guess that's what I'm asking. I thought we would have known that going into it. I mean, that's why I'm wondering if something changed. And I understand that you have to upgrade to whatever is
right,
the reflector thing, but this wasn't very long ago that we put this in, and I guess it's like coming home and somebody says it's going to be X amount of dollars, and then you come back and it's a lot more, and I didn't understand that.
Yeah, what we were waiting for is the final bid so we could appropriate the money, is all we were waiting for. I mean, we knew it was going to be over $25,000 for the county to replace all of their signs. I mean,
then we probably should have asked for $35,000 then.
We couldn't get it. $25,000 was the cap. We didn't have any choice on that.
Okay.
That's mandated across the state for all entities.
Okay.
We didn't have any choice. So basically, we're replacing $300,000 of the signs in the county and the township and the municipalities, and it's costing the county highway department motor fuel tax funds $10,000. So it's a pretty good deal overall.
Okay, Rosales.
What is the requirement for a stop sign, at least one way? Just this weekend I heard of an accident that occurred at one of our county roads where I believe a young child was killed. And they also mentioned that there's no planning in putting a sign on that intersection where the accident occurred. How many accidents have to occur before a sign goes up? Is there a magical number of accidents in a corner? In order for a four-way sign or a two-way sign to come up?
There's a number of different things that can happen. One is high ADT, or average daily traffic. I mean, you look at the intersection of Windsor and Staley. It wasn't until 2 years ago that the traffic at that intersection warranted having a four-way stop. So that's the kind of traffic you literally have to have at an intersection to warrant a four-way stop. If there's a history of accidents, it's got to be pretty high, like five in the last year or two at that intersection, that can warrant a stop sign. Or if there is limited sight distance where, you know, you're basically coming over a hill, you can't see where other people are coming from, they can warrant a stop sign based on that. But each entity, whether you're driving through a small municipality, you're driving on a township road, you're driving on a county road, you're driving in Champaign or Nevada, each entity has the authority to place their stop signs. We don't have the authority to place stop signs on any of the roads except for county highways.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Jonathan.
Thank you. Jeff, what are we doing with all the old signs? Where are they going?
Recycle them, basically. I mean, they found that putting new sheeting on old signs doesn't work. It doesn't adhere. The old sign faces start showing through the new sign faces, so we take them down and we take them to a scrapyard, basically, and get whatever aluminum price is for those signs.
You might set up a little shop around campus town come fall. Well, it seems to be more fun to steal them than to
build our building. Okay, Greg, did you want to talk? If not, Chris, Jonathan?
I got to follow your question up just a little bit with what Jeff explained. At unmarked intersections in rural areas, there's state laws that govern that. When there's an accident at a rural intersection, somebody's at fault. Somebody broke the law. You can't put a stop sign everywhere for everybody. So when there's an accident out there, somebody broke the law.
Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Item 2, resolution appropriating county motor fuel tax funds for general maintenance of county roads. You'll see that on pages 32 and 33. This is basically an estimate of our costs for 2010 for all of our asphalt, our salt, our calcium chloride, our pipe culverts, striping, crack sealing, replacing of other signs other than the ones that are getting replaced by the sign replacement program. This is the monies that we use to do the maintenance of the roadways so that we don't have to send a resolution in every time we're buying, you know, $10,000 worth of crack filler. We do one big resolution for a total amount for 2010 for the estimate of maintenance costs on the roadways.
Second.
Open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Item number three, resolution of award authority to the county engineer for pavement striping. We have our pavement striping out for bids currently. The bids are going to be opened up at 10 a.m. on June the 14th, and we need to move forward with that. I don't want to have to wait until July to go ahead and approve our pavement striping. We have an estimate of 7.5 cents per linear foot for pavement striping of all the county highways in Champaign County. So what this resolution says is that as long as the bid comes in within 10% of our estimate, that I can go ahead and award that bid to the lowest responsible bidder.
Second.
Open for discussion. Stan?
Jeff, are you going to have any... I've been reading where they're, and I know we just ordered some paint to some parking lots, but it's getting harder and harder to come by because there's been a shortage of some type of reflective material or something that goes in the paint.
That's what we're told is there is a worldwide shortage of paint, period.
There's a plant out of Texas, I think, that makes most of it, and that price is just bouncing around.
Supposedly it's all going overseas. Don't ask me what they're doing with it over there.
Putting in new roads.
And it's not just roads. Paint, it's all paint, whatever materials they use to make paint. But we've talked to the contractor who generally does the striping, and they've assured us that they have a contract with their supplier to get enough paint in order to stripe our roads.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Resolution number four goes back actually and picks up some additional funds from 2008. This is appropriating additional monies to the general maintenance resolution from 2008. What happens is IDOT comes and does an audit of our books. They're usually a couple years behind, so right now they're auditing the 2008 books. We passed a general maintenance resolution back in 2008, and we ended up having to get more salt than we anticipated in that year. So we are coming back at this time, and we've already bought everything. It's already all paid for, but the resolutions have to match the amount of money that we spent. So the resolution was $10,841.69 short of what the IDOT auditor has said we spent on all of those items in 2008, so we need to pass this resolution in order to make it fit our general maintenance requirements of 2008.
It's been moved by Steve O'Connor, second by Langhan. It's open for discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Item five, as you all know, we had a fire at the highway department a couple months ago or so. We lost one of our single axle dump trucks in that fire. It was actually the cause of the fire. We had investigators come and literally do like a CSI on the truck. It was amazing how much they could figure out from looking at the wires and the burn patterns on the trucks. We had one from the insurance company as well as one from the truck building company and the Curry International, who was the supplier of the truck. It was determined based on all of the investigation that they did that the one part that we bought aftermarket was the reason the truck caught on fire, which and everybody concurred on that. We purchased a windshield washer system that heated the fluid that squirted on the windows in order to make sure that we could get the ice off of our windows. The company that supplied a million of those to GM is now bankrupt because they've had multiple car fires and truck fires across the United States because of this product. And it just so happens that's the same product we had on our truck. Nobody ever told us there was a recall or anything like that. But so there's nobody to go back on. We bought it from Prairie International. They were the supplier of it. They were the supplier of the truck. But we don't believe we're going to have any leg to stand on to go back and try to get anybody to pay for the replacement of that truck. The insurance is paying for the cleaning and painting of the building. But the truck, as you all know, was self-insured. So the truck basically becomes something that we have to pay for. Unfortunately, we can't operate come wintertime without the trucks that we currently have because we have to have spare trucks because when you're plowing snow, stuff breaks down. We are going to get some monies in 2010 from the insurance fund through Debbie Chow, which we will ultimately have to pay back. And we do have some money still left in our heavy construction or equipment purchasing. Those two together will be enough in order to be able to replace that truck. We looked at multiple different scenarios in replacing that truck. We looked at taking the old box off of the truck and using it on a new truck, and that box is already 7 years old and it's got some rust problems with it now, and we want to keep the new truck for 15 years and we didn't figure there was going to be any box that's going to last 22 years, so we're going to have to put a new box on it and somewhere in the middle of the life of the truck, and that didn't seem to be a very good option. We looked at reusing the hydraulics, but the newer hydraulics are much cleaner and a lot easier to work on, and they're the same hydraulics that we have on all of our trucks now. So basically what we came up with in the end is that the best option is to go ahead and replace that truck with a new truck, trade in what's left of the burned up old truck. We would get a stainless box on the truck, and those stainless boxes, we've had great luck with them. They last. We haven't had any trouble. They will last the life of the truck without any trouble. Due to the salt and so forth that we haul in our trucks, the metal or the steel beds, really, we do have a big corrosion problem with them. To replace that truck, total cost, and this is a state bid from Prairie International Trucks, is $107,865.00, and that includes trade-in of the burned-up truck, basically as scrap. And a little bit of trade-in. They're going to give us $1,500 for the burned-up truck and $3,000 for the bed is about what we're getting out of that truck, and we're going to keep the tires, and I guess somebody said those are worth a couple thousand bucks. But other than that, we're going to pay $107,000 to replace that truck. So the money is going to be transferred from the insurance fund. We'll put that into our fund to buy large equipment, and I'd like to move ahead with purchasing of that truck, because if you say you're going to buy it now, you're going to get it about December 1st because of how long it takes to get these trucks built, and we need to have the truck by the time the snow flies. So.
Open for
Chris.
It's open for discussion. Rosales.
Are there any more trucks with this heating system for the windshield wipers?
There was one, but there's not one now. Okay. We took it out.
That was the only one that you retrofitted with this device.
We got two trucks the exact same year, the exact same model, and those are the two that, and they bought those and put them on, and those are the only two that we have those hot, they call it a hot wash system, which basically heats up the windshield washer fluid.
So we have none that are with this device currently?
Not now.
Okay.
We did. When we had two. We stripped it off the one that didn't burn.
Okay, great.
I guess just going to make a statement. It's just a shame we can't buy something used, because that's what the truck we had was used. Instead of going out and spending a lot of money for new, we've got a beautiful garage that we can maintain and do work in for maintenance and other things. It's just a shame that we can't go out and find something, because there's used stuff out there for half that price.
There is used stuff out there, I won't deny that, but to get it set up with what we need to do with the truck, it's very difficult to find one that's going to exactly fit our needs. And I don't know, anytime you buy something used in particular to do with the things that we do with it, which is basically, I mean, we don't go out and buy used fire trucks when you're a fire department. I think we serve a similar purpose. You don't buy used ambulances, I don't think. I mean, this is an emergency services vehicle. It needs to be on the road in order to plow the snow and keep the roads open in the winter. And I would just as soon not buy somebody else's problems. I mean, we have enough of our own problems. It burned up, right? So I would like to, and we're keeping our trucks for 15 years now. We're on a 15-year rotation on our trucks, whereas in the old garage, the old way we used to do business, we were lucky to get 10 to 11 years out of them. So we're doing a better job of maintaining them, but I'd like to start the maintenance of that truck from new instead of starting it from whatever age of a used one.
Just to follow up, just FYI, the fire districts, the rural fire protection districts used ambulances. So,
the money aspect here. So, how much will have to be borrowed from the insurance fund, from our own insurance fund?
Well, the actual cash value of that truck is $50,000.
How much?
About $50,000 is the actual cash value of that truck.
So, question number two is, do we have that much in the insurance fund, or is it all going to come out of the general corporate anyway?
There's money in self-funded.
And as an aside, Deb and I are looking very closely at trying to insure the county vehicles now, because I think the policy is around $3,000 to $4,000 a year to have all of our trucks insured with, I think it was a $25,000 deductible. This is the second truck we've lost in 3 years, and we're down over $200,000 because of a loss of trucks. I mean, one we had an accident, this one we had a fire. So I think it would behoove us to take a look at trying to insure these large pieces of equipment that cost so much to replace when we lose them.
And then,
I just say, Jeff, I agreed with your assessment, because when you're buying equipment, and I've argued with boards before, if you buy something used, you never know for sure what you're getting. And then when you need it the most, you got problems. I'm not saying you couldn't get problems with new, but at least you're starting new, you can maintain it, you've got a warranty with the new truck that you can always take it back and argue with the person you, or dealer you bought it from. So in this type of line of work where it's 24/7 sometimes, you really need the best equipment you can get. Granted, it'd be nice to save $50,000, but in the long run, you could end up eating $50,000 if you bought something used.
Any more? Just Carol? I
just had one question about the if the money that's in the self-funding insurance, how much is available in there, and how will we actually put the $50,000 back into that insurance, in that line item?
Well, there's over $1 million in self-funded insurance right now, but we pay for a lot of different things out of that fund. But the way Highway will pay it back is by being billed. Basically, their self-funded insurance premium will reflect this over the next couple of years.
Right.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay, we do have a couple other items on the came out on the addendum. Item number 6 under County Engineer Resolution appropriating county motor fuel tax funds for utility relocation on County Highway 18. This is the Monticello Road job. Ameren CIPS has multiple poles along that roadway from 700E going over to US 45 that need to be relocated in order to complete the project. Those poles are actually on a private easement that CIPS owns, not on the county road right-of-way, so therefore if they need to be moved in order to reconstruct the roadway, then the county is on the hook for that. We did receive a relocation agreement from Ameren SIPS just actually at the very beginning of this week for the relocation of those poles is $125,967.60. So this is a resolution appropriating that money from the motor fuel tax funds for that section number of that roadway to have those poles moved so we can continue along with the project.
I get a second. Open for discussion. Chris?
Jeff, are those poles going to be on county right-of-way now, so we'll have to pay for that again?
No. We can't make them put them on county right-of-way. Yeah, what's that? I wish we could make them put them on county right-of-way, but there's nothing in the law that says we have to. They have to go back on county right-of-way. They're on an easement now. I think they're just going to move them back farther into that easement, you know, because those easements that they have are so... You know, they just say a strip of land 10 feet wide going from here to here, and so they can kind of move stuff around within their easement. But they obviously have to do the work and replace all the poles. There's 40 poles out there that have to be removed and replaced.
How many poles are we talking about?
What's that?
How many poles are we talking about?
About 40.
About 40?
Yep.
Any more discussion? Carol?
So we have to pay for this again for what reason again?
We are widening Monticello Road all the way from US 45 to the Pike County line in order to put in wider shoulders. The ditches have to be pushed out, which means the poles, we have to do sloping off of the backsides of the ditches, and the poles basically are within our slope area. So by their rules, they have to have so many feet of the pole in the ground based on how high the poles are. And we're going to be taking dirt away, which will leave a limited amount of soil, so they need to push the poles back farther so that they can put them in the ground deep enough. And we don't want poles in the middle of our ditches, you know, for maintenance purposes and drainage purposes and so forth. So we requested that they move the poles due to our construction project. We just finally got the agreement from them last week, or early this, I guess it was late last week, on what it was going to cost to move the poles.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And the last item underneath the county engineer is the Lincoln Avenue Bridge. As you know, we have an intergovernmental agreement with Summer Township, the City of Urbana, and Champaign County to replace the Lincoln Avenue Bridge north of I-74. The way this project works is similar to any project. The lead agency gets billed by IDOT, and the lead agency has to turn around and pay IDOT within 30 to 45 days. So IDOT fronts 100% of the money. They take the 20% that the local agencies have to pay, and they send a bill to the local agency. And we have to, in turn, pay them, and then we have to, in turn, turn around and bill Urbana, and Urbana bills us, or pays us. costs, but we have to have some money in a fund somewhere to pay IDOT until we get the money back from the city of Urbana. So basically this resolution is appropriating $130,000 from the county bridge funds for this section, but that entire $130,000 will come back to us from the city of Urbana. It's just we need money in a fund in order to pay IDOT. So that's what this resolution is doing. It's actually not money that we're going to spend in the long run. It's just money in, money out.
Is that a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion and for discussion, and I have a question, please.
Okay, and Rosado, you are second. Okay, it's open for discussion.
Thank you, Ms. Covert. Jeff, if you take that $135,000, where does that leave the road and bridge fund?
It comes out of the county bridge fund, and we had budgeted for it. We're not in anywhere near the bottoms of the bridge fund.
Okay, it's something you budgeted for this
yes.
fiscal year 2010.
Yes.
Thank you.
I mean, we budgeted for it to come out and come back in, so it's almost a zero budget item, but you got to take it out of one line and put it into another.
Is there any more discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay.
I have a question about what the status of those two overheads on 1800 and 1900 are being closed at the same time, east of Urbana. One that got hit by the truck north of the Mayview Cemetery.
Okay.
Now they're closing the one at Mayview.
Right, right. To replace
either one
that.
Of those going to be open this by fall, or
I'd have to call IDOT and let you know, Steve. I don't know what the.
That's going to cause a big problem out there.
If they're going to replace that bridge and they're starting now, there's not a chance it's going to be open by October, November.
Is there any movement on 1800 about how that's ever going to be resolved, or if it's ever going to be opened up again?
Yeah, it's going to be replaced and opened up. I'm just not sure of the timeline, but I think it's within the next year as far as beginning of construction. But if you want me to, I could find those questions out and let you know.
If those are both closed, it's going to be a real mess out there in the harvest.
Yeah, I would agree. Unfortunately, they're IDOT bridges. We don't have jurisdiction over those bridges. We have the road. We have County Road 24. But when they got the money and they want to do it, they're going to do it. But I can try to get an answer and let you know.
Okay, is there other business? Seeing none, there's no chair report. And looks like B 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 will go on the consent agenda. And that's all for Highway.
Thank you.
Ela? First item of business is to approve the recreation and entertainment license for the Pink House. Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Anderson, seconded by Mr. Schrader. Discussion? Mr. Mosier.
Is that thing even open?
Yeah. I assumed it was.
About two cars a night out there when you drive by it. I didn't know if there was anybody in there or not.
They pay their license fee every year. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. You also have at your desk the application from the Champaign County Fair Association for their recreation and entertainment license. Motion by Mr. Mosier. Seconded by Mr. James. Discussion. Mr. Weibel.
I note the sheriff has signed off on this, and there's been problems in the past concerning security. I'd like to see that the sheriff signs off on it before we sign off on it.
He is very much aware that this has been submitted, and I know that they have been talking back and forth about security issues as they did last year.
you would note that this application was just received on June 1, so it's not actually being delayed. It just got in late, for what that's worth.
Ms. Michael, I have a question. On page 2 here, it says agent of local responsibility party. It mentions Karen Duff in Paxton, Illinois. She's the notary. I mean, I don't know if somebody just typed this wrong or what, but she's the notary on this product here, this form.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was maybe filled out correctly.
Well, she is also the secretary for the Fair Association.
Yeah, the secretary is Bernice Band. So the secretary lives in Ford County then, probably?
They hired her.
It just looked odd that the notary would be the thing.
Mr. Kurtz?
Ms. Busey? Last year, there was a problem with the Sheriff's Department and cost of protection for the fair. We were able to secure additional dollars from the Fair Association. Do we have any situation on security this year like we had last year?
That is entirely handled by the Sheriff, and the Sheriff is the one who negotiates that with the Fair Association. And I think the only caveat you should put on this tonight is that you should make sure before you approve it at the June 24th County Board meeting that the Sheriff has worked that out and signed off on this.
Thank you.
Mr. James?
I was just going to add, she said the Sheriff's not off, but also that that information is correct, as Ms. Michaels pointed out.
We'll correct it.
Okay.
We don't normally approve these at full board, correct? I mean, so
well,
we need
don't,
to,
actually.
So I guess my recommendation would be just to bring it back if that's possible and take action at that time if there's concerns about the Sheriff's, you know, intent.
You could just approve with condition the board not sign it until the Sheriff has signed it.
Since these do not come to the full board meeting, I think what we could do is pass this with the condition that the Sheriff sign it and then I sign it as chair of this committee. And then we're okay. Mr. Beckett?
Amend the motion to approve this subject to the Sheriff's first approval and confirmation of the accuracy of the data in the application.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to amend the motion to do it on the condition that the Sheriff has approved it and we will attest to the accuracy of the information. Is there discussion on the substitute motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Point of order, that was a best amendment to the motion.
Right. So now we need to vote on the motion. And the motion is to approve the County Fair Association application for a recreation and entertainment license with those contingencies. Is there a discussion on the main motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay. We've dealt with the Dobbin Downs issue, so that means we're ready to talk about the work plan for the remainder of fiscal year 2010 and into fiscal year 2011. We need a motion to approve the work plan that's proposed.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Beckett, seconded by Mr. Kurtz. Discussion. Mr. Knott.
I guess.
Sorry.
Well, let me just start off. I had a question. We kind of talked about caucus, and then maybe you can describe what all this means. But I guess one of the questions I have is, what is the statutory role requirements for the RPC interaction with the county? In other words, I think as next month or whenever we, or I think next week, when we start to discuss some of the FY11 budget issues, my understanding is this, with many other things, is going to be on the list of things that, you know, do you fund itself the same level, et cetera. So I guess I was wondering if we could direct or ask the state's attorney staff to research that question and come back, because I know for many years we were told that the county has to have a planning relationship with RPC. And I guess just for clarity's sake, I'd like to maybe understand, if we could, in writing, you know, an opinion format, what that is. I know it's been a long unwritten understanding, so that's just kind of what we've always done, but I think as we review some of these things, now's a good time to ask that question. So I would, if you want a motion to that, or I'll just ask staff to, please ask the state's attorney staff to do that.
The other thing I wanted to point out is that, according to the LRMP, the process for this is that you're being presented with this work plan tonight so that you can study it, evaluate it, and ultimately approve what it is you want to be done next year, but you're not expected to do that until August. So really, I don't think you should be approving this work plan tonight, but maybe receiving it, and then if you have questions or, I mean, that's how it was discussed in the LRMP, because this is also subject to funding, and finance hasn't yet acted on funding issues. So,
Mr. Beckett?
That may be true as of fiscal year 11, but what about fiscal year 10?
Yeah.
All right. So, Mr. Kurtz, will you agree as a friendly amendment to our motion to approve the fiscal year 10? Not the fiscal year 11, but to receive the fiscal year 11 and place on file?
Sounds very friendly.
Okay.
Is there any discussion on the proposal for fiscal year 10, the remaining 5 months of this year? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. And I think we need a motion to place on file the proposal for...
Motion did that.
Oh, sorry.
Do I need to... Can my questions be answered? Do I need to do a motion for that? Okay.
Okay. We have two zoning amendments. One is a request to amend the Champaign County Zoning Ordinance, case 634-AT-08, Part B, and I need a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Mosier, seconded by Mr. Rosales. Discussion. Mr. Hall, do you want to say something?
The board has seen this several times. There were two really good questions asked last week, and with about a month to think about it, I was able to hopefully provide a little more thorough explanation. We've received no comments from any municipality or township, and hopefully now this is ready to move on.
Mr. Jay?
I'd like to remind the zoning administrator that I had made a request for some documentation, and we've not received any of that, and I was willing to pay for it. It wasn't that we wanted it for free. I was told I needed to wait I was first told that it was $63 a copy, and I said we would pay that. And then I was told I had to wait to see what the final cost would be, and I haven't heard anything. So I don't know that it's fair to be passing this stuff when we don't even have the truth out amongst the folks yet.
You're right, Mr. Jay. I was going to talk to you tonight about give you an update on that. I myself only found out last week how much extra copies would cost. We reviewed the final copy so the printer can start printing in the next couple of days. And we've gotten a letter signed by the county board chair, so we can mail that out when we get them. This amendment, though, the amendment that's before you right now, is for the small wind turbine amendment, which is not really implementing any part of the LRMP, you know, for what that's worth.
Anything else? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next case is case 664-18-10. Mr. Hall.
It's the same thing. This case is ready for a final recommendation. We've received no protests, and hopefully it's ready to go to the full board.
Any questions? Discussion? Did we get a we need a motion on this, sorry.
Sure.
Motion by Mr. Kurtz, second from Ms. Anderson. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Monthly report.
You should have a copy of the monthly report at your desk. So far, beginning a review of the fiscal year so far for next year's budget, and actually the numbers of zoning cases are less than we anticipated. The numbers of permits are less than we anticipated. So the fees from both of those are less than we had anticipated. So that's the status. We are doing better on enforcement than we anticipated.
Mr. Roger?
John, have you got any update on those windmill projects that we talked about in Newcomb and Raymond and Ayers? There have been two or three people call me that said the horizon's up closer to Sydney in search of land, and that maybe Edgar County's not going to be in it. And there's also a lot of fuss up around the Condit Town Hall on that ridge from that group that's in Newcomb. You know any of the particulars of it? Or
I was told by Horizon Web that they are looking at wanting to put more turbines in Champaign County than they had previously wanted, and they are looking north of, up near Homer and over towards Sydney, but nothing specific at this point. I do know that the fourth wind farm company has been contacting folks in Condit Township, but they're a long way from anything specific. The wind farm company on the west side of the county has been contacting landowners in the vicinity of the Manlove gas storage field, but no one's any closer to an application as far as I know.
We need a motion to put the monthly report on file.
So moved.
Mr. James, Mr. Kurtz. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Other business?
Barb, could I ask a question, John?
Yes.
In that same kind of area, I'd heard there was south of Homer, North Broadlands, Allerton, 50, and there's talk of a coal mine that may stretch between Vermilion and Champaign. I have no history of knowing. Do we have any involvement in such items normally, or not at all?
I did hear about that this week, Greg. I don't even know the company. Our position is that a coal mine is mineral extraction and would need a special use permit. At this point, I think they're just signing up landowners, and who knows how long it might be to they actually start moving dirt.
Mr. Weibel?
I've had some indirect contact, and apparently most of the money will take place in Vermillion County, but it could come into Champaign County.
Mr. Mosier?
I think I've got a friend that owns land at Sidell, and that whole thing is in Vermillion County, and they had a meeting over there last week with whoever this is, and it seems like it's in that Sidell, Indianola, maybe a little bit east of Allerton, but it's all in Vermillion County.
And actually, Mr. Mosier, what was explained to me is that's one reason why Horizon wants to put more turbines in Champaign County. They're not going to have as many in Vermillion because of the coal mine.
Okay. So the two zoning ordinance items will be on the consent agenda.
Just a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was. Okay. And that will be about it. Okay. Before we go to our closed session, this is usually the time when we would make the decision about whether to hold July meetings, committee meetings. I guess I would ask the three chairs if they feel there is information or sufficient business for a meeting in July that you're aware of, Mr. Beckett.
Well, I think we'll have something, but I don't see any reason why it can't come straight to full board.
Okay. Ms. Kohler, you aware of anything?
Well, I don't know what Jeff has for the agenda, but it can go.
I'm actually not aware of anything right now.
Well, then I think we can safely cancel our committee of the whole meeting in July.
First one.
Right. Okay. Mr. Smucker?
Yeah, I move that we enter into executive session pursuant to 5LCS120/2C2 to consider collective negotiating matters between Champaign County and its employees or their representatives. I further move that the following individuals remain present: county legal counsel, county administrator, county elected officials, recording secretary.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Betts. Call the roll.
Ammons. Anderson.
Yes.
Beckett.
Yes.
Benzel.
Yes.
Betts.
Yes.
Coert.
Yes.
Dennis.
Yes.
James.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Knott.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Yes.
Langenheim. McGinty. Michaels.
Yeah.
Mosier. Nudo.
Mr. Nudo.
Al?
Yes or no?
O'Connor.
No.
Richards.
Yes.
Rosales.
Yes.
Sapp. Schrader.
Yes.
Smucker.
Yes.
Weibel.
Yes.
Wysocki.
Yes. Session.
Okay. Are we going to get into business?
The next item I have here is adjournment.
Could we have an explanation from the chair about the issue about the GIS redistricting process?
That's for the next meeting. I just didn't get over to the fund meeting.
That really should have probably gone out with the agenda packet that's being mailed tomorrow, which will have maps with it.
Any other business? Move to adjourn? By Mr. O'Connor. Seconded by Mr. Rosales. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.